ain't gonna lie, I'm madder than Alex and Fellers. I'm madder than two bosses fighting over a last damn bottle of L8 in my dumpsters. You know that's real, man. You guys ain't asked Ricky Bobo to talk to them people at the Musty Shop Bash July 16th. You fellas ought to know them people want to see Ricky Bobo, West Virginia's finest. I've done worked up an entire seminar out of quick strike cart. Joe Booker ain't gonna quick strike no cart. Musky country boy can't survive.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. Hey, JJ!
Hey, Stevie.
What are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Joe, not much. How are you?
I am here. It is freaking, it's Friday.
Friday night.
We're doing it. Musky opener is
just hours away.
It's
so cool.
It's been a
crazy, crazy week of Musky opener fever.
They're sitting there, literally, people are on Green Bay. You can hear the bucktails rattling at 11:59.
No, yeah.
Click, click.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Click, click. Everyone's getting them out. So anyway, we snubbed the West Virginia legend himself, Ricky Bobo.
Yeah, well, I don't feel good about it.
I don't either, but we don't like hillbillies. I am,
absolutely.
I am the token hillbilly of the Musky business, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. You got to have one around so we're including everybody, right? You can't be non-inclusive. It's my job to be the token hillbilly of musky fishing, period. That's it. There can be only one. So there you go. He said he's still coming, Jay.
Okay, he's still coming to the bash, though.
He's coming, and hell's coming with him, Ricky Bobo. God, it's the dumbest stuff ever.
You'll probably be able to pick him out in the crowd, too, by the T-shirt he's wearing.
Probably
right?
From the cutoff jorts or the... I'm betting on some Walmart jeans. It'll, you know, just verging on. So anyway, big excitement. If you guys are not ready for an opener up there in the Northwoods, you need to be. It is musky fever. I'm a believer. So that's going on. Jay, you said the shop's been pretty rocking and rolling this week. People are coming up there. They're making the trek there. They're up there.
Yeah. A lot of people up, so got a good weather forecast and water's warming again.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good trend to have in late May. We'll see what happens this weekend.
It's gonna be dynamite. Sorry.
Boom.
Anyway, speaking of boom, great segue. And the top segue ever goes to Jay for saying boom, because we need to talk about the Bomb Squad Baits.
Bomb Squad Baits
showed up.
Talk about impressive. I don't think you've handled one yet. These things are built like Mack trucks.
Yep.
Like the hardware on it is like over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know how Jeff put those together, but how he got just all the support around that thing is pretty cool. And the designs.
Well done.
Just well done. It's from the placement of the line tie to the weight of the bait. It sits lower in the water, pushes water, and we're anxious to see what that thing can do. There's two sizes. There's just kind of a little guy called the C4, and there is a big mama that's like 7.5 ounce, 7.5 ounce top water.
You heard it here first.
Kabloosh.
Kadoosh.
That thing is going to have a really neat commotion to it. I am anxious to try one out. I got one sitting in the office at the shop, and... looking great. Yeah, we got the first shipment in. So not every color. I think we're starting with six colors. There's some more coming. You can check them out there on the top of the new list on the site.
Lot of baits named after explosive devices.
Yeah, hey, it's musky fishing, you know.
It's a trend. Dynamite.
C4.
MK65. You know, Mark 65. You got that. Dynamite. Can you come up with a bait, Jay? JJ's Dynamite. I'm working on the potato masher.
Yeah, we talked about that a while back. That's a good one. No one's used that.
Da. Da. Yes.
Their potato masher.
Potato masher. $24.99. So, listen, Bomb Squad, I'll tell you what. that's one of those things. These are, and I trust Jay, and Jim was blown away. When it comes to some of these baits, we talk about pricing or whatever it might be. I think these are, I hate to say it, but I've been so impressed with everything you guys have said. Literally one of those things where it's kind of just, you buy it and you're done because you got to be trying to break it, which is cool. I like seeing baits like that where it's just like, okay, if it's going to be a higher dollar bait, it's different and it's built to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And again, I don't know if it's common knowledge. The guy that makes these baits, he's been in the bait game in a lot of facets, so he really has it dialed in. I don't know where he got that hardware. That hardware on those things are sick, so it's impressive. Kind of excited. Yep. I got one already. You didn't get one already, but I've had one.
What's that?
The fat tail, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Fat bottom tails.
You make the musky world go round.
Get on your rods and ride.
Get on your boats and ride.
It was like worse. Like the first second, get on the rods and ride is way. I was trying to do something funny, and that was just way worse than it should have been. Yeah. Get on your boats and ride would have been less kind of connotative strange. Those are cool because I like the whale tails where they have that adjustable weight system. So this is a different take on a swim bait. Kind of interesting if you're a swim baiter. I'm sort of torn though because I like my Boggs Mohawk and I like that deal, right? They're both kind of cool, different takes on swim baits. But the fat tail's pretty interesting. I like the whale tails anyway, you know that.
Yeah.
Just because the plastic on those dudes are in it to win it. Those are cool. Other thing, a bunch of freaking Spankies, and I am the spankinest spanker there is.
Go ahead.
Hey, I didn't know if being the spanking a spanker was a possibility.
You got a nice one on a Spanky not too long ago, didn't you?
I'm a spanker.
What model was it? Do you remember?
The double eight. Is that a Firefly?
It's probably a Firefly. Okay.
The double eight.
Double A Colorado.
It's Colorados, but it's like the hex blade. So that's why I was sort of like, I don't know if he changes his models based on flat or hex, but it was the double eight. They just work. And it's one thing about Spankies, his build quality's through the roof. And the other thing is they've usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, because I'm not Mr. Bait like you are. I'm a spanker, not the bait guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of the Spankies have like the plastic disc under the clevises. Is that correct? Am I speaking out of turn here?
Every one of them? I'm not sure about that, but most of them do. Yeah.
Which is, if you're a troller, is awesome because it won't open. You know, if you troll without like the plastic disc in there, you will not get the same kind of action, and eventually it'll sort of wear your clevises out. So it's like, I hate to call it a shock absorber, but it is definitely a friction kind of deal there. So it minimizes the friction against the beads. It doesn't wear the clevis out. So for casting and trolling, and I like bucktails where I can go, okay, if I stick some weight in front of this thing, it quickly becomes a trolling bucktail. That's sort of where I go to on the Spankies. But he's doing the Pugsleys, which are cool. They got the little float bodies there. They got the, pitch it out there. It runs a little shallower there, eh?
That's right. Yeah. And Spanky is one of those very, very few bucktail manufacturers that uses that extra heavy wire, too.
Yeah. Well, that's.
We talk about durable, you know, because sometimes you use light wire. Yeah. You get a fish on it, and it's like you can't quite get it back to true straight, you know?
Well, I'll say this. You hear a lot of hype about there's a bait where it's the closest thing I'll say to it is instead of the other, it's kid and son. Bucktails, you know, or parent and child bucktails, do the math.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of similar in their composition of the heavier wire where they run deep in the blades and stuff. So very akin to like some really, really customized stuff. That's why I like them. And, you know, whatever. Those are tough to bend.
I don't think you can.
No, you could try. I mean, it's literally someone when I'm fishing with Joe and stuff. He literally has made some of his bucktails out of bicycle spoke, Like, you know, and it's hard to bend. I'll tell you that much. It lasts a lifetime. But anyway, that's the fun and new exciting stuff there at themuskyshop.com. Mm-hmm. Didn't know it. John and Jim at the Musky Shop, they went virus this week, Jay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They went virus.
Yeah, I shot a couple short videos of John and Jim. The Wonder
TikTok
Twins,
kind of
the Musky Twins.
There's the whole new like Musky shorts, and now we're old and we don't know what to do. And Jay's playing around, and they went virus, and so it was pretty funny.
I wouldn't say that, but maybe Musky virus.
Musky virus. It was hilarious. Actually, yeah. We're like, what happened here? It's the dumbest thing ever. So next week, prepare. We're gonna have Elmer Flossen for 7 minutes. Elmer's gonna do.
And if you want to watch something I think is funny, there's a Todd. I did a remix of some unused Todd and Dave stuff.
Yeah,
and I put that on our YouTube channel too.
Yeah,
it's just like 40 seconds, but it was stuff that didn't make the original. So I got a kick out of it.
There's people that are Todd and Dave fans, and me and
I talked to some. Yeah,
we have a hoot doing that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
We need to do more because we're really just making fun of the old videos. I'm looking for some of those old softy shorts from the 80s for this summer. They're kind of borderline vulgar, to be honest with you. Oh, there. But anyway, that's the going and comings there at the shop there. Oh. Jay?
Yes, Steve.
I have been to, and we should mention again, July 16th, Musky Shop Bash. You heard the Bobo. It's coming up. And then we're still doing a talk to Erica Livingston. We're still doing the Livingston Lures trade-in, bringing your old bait. That's happening. And so one per attendee of the free Livingston Lures Musky School. That's going down. Me, Herbie, Pete, going to be there. Going to be fun. Got a lot of fun stuff lined up. But the funnest of stuffs that are lines up, if you will, is this Musky opener. So trying to get some people on the horn to figure out what's going on.
Well, it sounds like you got a plethora of good information on the horn today.
I tried my best. A lot of phone calls.
Okay.
I just practically just started dialing random numbers to see who I could get on the phone about musky fishing.
Perfect.
You know? Got a couple pieces of really good info. Got some bad info.
Okay, goes with the territory.
You know, so I'll roll the I'll roll the videotape.
Harvey, how can I help you?
Yeah. I wanted to see what baits you guys were throwing there for musky opener.
I'm sorry.
What lures do you guys recommend for the musky opener this weekend?
No, I don't know. This is the Arby's. This is the restaurant.
Ah, sorry.
I recommend a beef and cheddar, though.
Monaco Cooktrip, how may I help you?
You know what baits you guys were throwing there for musky opener?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What baits are you guys got there for the musky opener there, Ope?
I think we have worms. I know we have worms, and I'd have to walk over and check.
All right, so it looks like we have leeches.
Yeah.
Night crawlers.
Yeah.
Worms.
Oh yeah.
And wax worms.
Oh yeah. What one of them do the muskies like?
I have no idea.
You ever caught one of them things? They look mean.
I don't have no idea.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, I got Al Frost. You know definitely what's going on in the Northwoods, so sort of lay it out. What should people expect when they're heading up for this opener, Al? As far as conditions, you know, what are you seeing out on the water? Sort of give me the lowdown.
I'm thinking weeds are way behind where they would normally be this time of year. Mm-hmm. Water's way colder than it normally would be this time of year. Everything's just a really late spring. Fishing on the big, deep, clear lakes is going to be tough.
Definitely.
I think what you need to do is find some place that's small, shallow, you know, and as dark as your septic.
Yeah.
You want to be fishing in late junk. I mean, the dirtier the water, the better your odds are going to be. I mean, the big, deep, clear is up here, they're still in like the mid-50s.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was on a 150-acre lake this morning. When I got out there, it was 59. So And it's dark water.
Right. So your clear stuff might even be colder in just in general.
I'm sure it will be. Your big, deep, clear stuff is going to be mid-50s, and it's going to be – they're going to have something else on their mind other than eating. So, and they're going to find some place where they've already done the deed.
Right.
And are starting to recover. I would be looking for small, dark – and shallow.
That's going to be the ticket. What do you think as far as presentations and speed? What's some stuff that comes to mind of like, this is most likely going to be the ticket there right off this weekend?
Well, I'm going to start out twitching a crane or like a 6-inch slammer or a crane 206.
Yeah.
If you're going to throw a smaller bucktail, I'd throw a MEPS, like a muskie killer or a giant killer. It doesn't really matter. Muskie killer, giant killer.
Yeah, same. Yeah, you know? Pick your poison.
I mean, some of these ridiculously little bucktails, you know, the micro bucktails, to me, they're just undergunned.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough hook on them for me to feel confident with them.
Right.
Where... So you stick to them, Eps, you're in good shape. The other thing that you might want to try, and I don't know if it's going to pay off or not, but you might want to try some mud just because it's dark and it's going to warm up fast and you're going to have some bugs in it, like so. And, I don't know that your, you know, traditional structure fishing is really going to be the play. I mean, even on the smaller lakes, I think they'll be just spawned out and out over, you know, a little deeper water recovering. So you might as well, if you're going to fish out there, I'm not saying they're going to be deep. I'm sitting, you know, the top 10 feet of water, but out over deep water, maybe the top, you know, top of the water column, but still out over deeper water.
Is that something like if they're suspended? Because a lot of times when they will, you know, once they spawn out, they'll go suspend, like I was saying. Is that a situation where it would make sense to maybe take that crane 206 or that 6-inch slammer and do like slower trolling passes in open water? Is that effective?
Definitely. But you're going to want to, you know, up here, it's, you're going to want to put it on a board, get it away from the boat. You know, when they're that high up in the water column, you know, you're going to spook them. They're not going to let you drive over with that big shadow.
Right.
So put it on a board, get it away from the boat. You know, run something that's going to run like 6 feet, 7 feet deep, 7.5 inch. Grandma comes to mind.
Yeah.
Must be trained diesel, something like that.
Just to get it down in a way. As far as the obviously the water temps, and this is, everybody's sort of been asking. I know they've been calling the shop nonstop. What's going on? It sounds like it might be out of the average season opener comfort zone is what it sounded like, you know, where it's just like post-spawn. You know, so if you have these fish that are either on mud or on the sand flats, again, with the trolling, we need to be a little bit stealthy. Do you think it bodes that you need to be a little stealthier on your boat control and how you're approaching these bays or these mud areas or flats? Is that a concern?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of people make a deal out of that. I've never, you know, the same guys were going to tell you should turn off your electronics and drift in and stuff. You know, the same guys were splashing down with a mag dog. I mean, just
point taken. Yeah.
You know, whatever it is you enjoy doing, go do that, because I don't care how good the fishing is. You know, the vast majority of the time, there ain't going to be nothing on the other end.
Right.
Do what you do. Do what you know, enjoy the day. Enjoy your company, because even in the best of times, it's few and far between. So just get out there and do it, man. And the other thing that you might want to think about doing, I don't know what I'm going to do, is I'm going to try trolling a suic. Everybody talks about small baits in the spring. Well, that's a relative term. Small, deep, all that crap. But you know, if you're a 50-inch fish, a 9-inch suic isn't that big. That's not a great big bait.
Right. How much does a 9-inch fish weigh? That's what I always say. It's a tiny fish.
Yeah. If you can find some coming up green weeds, and they are very few and far between, if you can find some coming up green weeds, throw a suic in them.
And are you still just dive and rise, let it like a weighted suic? Are you trying to make contact with that?
No, I'm gonna use a weighted suic, because mostly you're gonna find a lodia. You know, you're gonna find very little as far as green cabbage. I mean, there's on the really like on the little lake I was on this morning, there was some green cabbage. But then again, we were fishing in 3.5 feet of water. So.
Right, right. You're up skinny. What have the you know as far as bait fish or like whether it be walleye or any other species have they been? Are they a little bit behind in general? As far as in their life cycle and what they're doing, are they
well, you know, most everything's stoned out as far as what, but in the big deep clear lakes, you know, crappies and stuff aren't even spawned out yet. The little lake I was on this morning, all the crappies were spawned out and have an adder already for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you go out like on Tomahawk, a lake you're familiar with, you go out on Tom and no,
yeah,
they're still full of spawn. But walleye-wise, everything's spawned out. And in fact, the walleyes are coming back and eating their young is what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. That's why the walleyes have been so shallow. And we caught some walleyes this morning in like 3 feet of water.
Right. So they're
They're in there eating their young is what they're doing.
Gotcha. Now, are you seeing a benefit in bouncing around on lakes? Is it do you need to like stick and stay and make it pay on a body of water this time of year for the opener this weekend, or should you be prepared to go and look for action quick, or is it going to be slow everywhere? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you need to be running and gunning in between lakes, or what's sort of your game plan?
You know, that's got more to do with your personality than with the fish's personality.
Agreed, yes.
I mean, I reached that stage in my life, I'll stubborn them, you know.
Al Frost is only launching once, folks. You get one launch.
Well, we're going to go all day, Jeff. Yeah, maybe we'll do two lakes. But, right. You know, for the most part, I'm all for it. I don't like to leave fish to find fish. If I know they're there, I'll stubborn the little boogers. You know, I'll give her like hell and hell.
Yeah.
So they just say uncle.
We can get it.
I mean, you can bounce around all over the place, and chances are you'll be in the car in that 20-minute window when they're really biting. Which, so, you know, brings me to the, you know, the moon phases and all that junk, which I think is a much bigger deal in the summer than it is in the spring like this.
Absolutely.
But if you're gonna be watching, the only reason I watch any of that stuff is I don't want to be in the car changing lakes during moon underfoot or something like that.
Right.
You know, like, otherwise, I'm going fishing anyway. I don't care what the moon's doing. I'm going. You know?
I love the approach. You know, it's I'm with you. I mean, yeah, you can sit there and micromanage it, or you can go fishing. You know,
I caught the biggest fish on my Stephen. I caught the biggest fish on my life in a super hot, bright, sunshiny day on a gin clear lake. In August,
right?
With an east wind,
right? Yeah, nothing was right. Yeah,
nothing was right.
And then,
except
boom.
You know, I threw that cast out there and hit him in the head, and hello, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you do, you got a better chance than sitting in the home. So, you know, just get after him.
Yeah, I'm just being in the car. Driving around for the next lake. Let me ask you, because you hit me to these baits are the RJs, and I really like the RJs, and I know you're a fan of RJs. Is that something you're throwing early in the season with that, because it, you know, it's got the weight forward bucktail, which is a different deal, you know? Is that something you're going to be looking at, or at least explain how you fish those, because I think they're such a neat presentation.
Well, I think, you know, RJ just came out with a new one this year. It's RJ French. It's, you know, I bought a few. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. They weren't out last year, but,
right.
You know, I bought them for a reason. But that RJ Double 8 bucktail.
Those are mine.
The Double 10, yeah. You know, is for younger people. But the Double 8, I mean, we've caught a lot of big, big fish on those things. And it's always going to have a place in the boat. It's going to be... you know, it's going to be high tip to a MEPS, but it's always going to have a place in the boat. I mean, I fling those a lot, but I think I'm going to wait for the water to get a little warmer before I start throwing the bigger bucktails. But that RJ French, I'm going to pin that on and give that some air time just to just to check her out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I know you're going to be putting some fish in the boat here soon. Guys, if you want to get on the boat with Al Frost, you can call Muskie Shop Guide Service. Call the shop up there. Al knows where more muskies are up there than the DNR. It's amazing. So appreciate you, Al. I'll talk to you again.
I spend more time on the water than the DNR.
That's the fact. All right, I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, Steven. Yeah, good luck.
Bucktail, can I help you?
Yeah, hey there. I was wanting to know what you guys were recommending to throw there at Muskie Opener.
I'm sorry?
What baits are you guys throwing for Opener this weekend?
What do you mean?
What lures? Well, it's Muskie Opener coming up there.
We're in a gentleman's club.
Oh, I saw Bucktails.
Yeah, we're Bucktail Gentleman's Club.
Oh, my bad. Thank you.
Hello, Wally here.
Hey there, what you throwing there for the Muskie Opener, eh?
Jay, is this you?
No.
I'll shoot you dead in your driveway, you son of a bitch.
May I help you?
Yeah, I wanted to see what baits you guys were recommending for Muskie Opener.
For what?
For Muskie Fishing Opener, what baits do you guys recommend?
I couldn't tell you. This is a restaurant.
All right, guys. I got Doug Smith, the big ticket, on the phone here. Doug, what are you seeing? I just got off the phone with Al Frost. We were talking about some of the cold temps you guys have been facing, colder water temps. What's your outlook on the opening weekend coming up here, Doug?
Well, I was having, like, today up to close to 60. It's starting to get up to mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
The 60, the weeds are behind in growth, so if you can find any kind of green weeds, then you're going to find everything's in them, walleyes, perch, everything's, all the food's in it. And I've been marking some fish, muskies, in that same area. We had a couple cold days there that knocked the water, you know, water temperature down mm-hmm. a little bit. So I would say, you know, like twitch bill, stuff that gives you some hang time, you mm-hmm. know, that's been the same way with even walleye fishing, that, you know, they've been biting real light and stuff. They'll start picking up now with the warmer weather coming. So maybe like a swim type bait
mm-hmm.
would work pretty good. And then if you're going to go with a bucktail or something small, eights and below,
eights,
you know,
like Frosty was talking MEPs. I was thinking in my head, seems like a time for like a Rizzo Whiz. Does that make sense? I know that's a perennial.
Yeah,
favorite.
Rizzo Whizzes, that kind of stuff, and some of the smaller, even some of the bigger bass type spinner baits. You know, the little figure eight, stuff like that, and the small ace bait, mm-hmm. something like that.
Well, one thing I'll say, and you haven't been on the podcast before, but if you fish the Northwoods, you know who Doug is. You catch giants, and really you focus on big fish. I mean, flat out, you know. So if you're looking for a trip and you're looking for a trophy trip, Doug's your man. He guides for Muskie Shop. You can get a hold of him, Muskie Shop Guide Service. But what's your take on coming out on Opener with big stuff? Is that something you do?
You know, I've done it. I mean, if you're going to do any kind of like open water fishing,
mm-hmm.
If you're going to find some fish in the open water, not as many as there will be, but they'll be super high in the water column, and they will hit big baits.
Mm-hmm.
They will hit full-size baits for those fish because, you know, the forage is bigger out there. You know, the Ciscos are 10, you know, 12 to 16 inches, and they're up high.
Mm-hmm.
So you can... But that's kind of, you know, depending on the lake, dependent on that.
Right.
You can even get them on, you know, the Mad Dogs, you know, 9-inch grandmas, slammers, that kind of stuff, up high in the water column.
Right.
And occasionally you can even get them on a big double 10, too, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, rolling out there slow.
Which would kind of be, I mean, if you're, this would be a Doug big ticket swinging for the fences, you're looking for that 50-inch fish there off the bat kind of thing, right? Like just
yeah,
if you're
and they'll be up high too. Mm-hmm. They'll be super high. You won't even mark them. You won't be seeing a lot of bait or even fish because the stuff's so high. It'll spook from the boat unless you got some kind of side imaging or
now
you know, panoptics or something.
But, is that associated with like suspended over the deep water near the spawning bays? Is that sort of the pattern there?
Yeah, you kind of would check out like the where you would think they'd be spawning, and you'd check the first deep break
mm-hmm.
mud. The first deep break off in soft bottom.
Now, for your game plan for this weekend, are you going like the small stain lakes or what's the game plan? Is that's because of what I'm hearing from everybody? Small and stain, is clear water completely off the table in your book, or what's your thought?
Well, I've been on clear water the last couple of days, you know, fairly clear water. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find the fish shallow, obviously 10 feet shallow on those type of lakes, a lot of them in the new weed growth. You know, that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's where they're at. The pike are in there too, pretty thick, and everything else is right now. I wasn't marking a lot of anything off the deeper breaks at all, even for bait. Everything mm-hmm. was kind of coming in.
Is it one of those things, though, on, you know, if you're hitting the smaller lakes or this, you know, whatever body's water you're kind of targeting, is it a morning bite? What do you think? Afternoon bite? Do you need to let things warm up? You know,
I would definitely. I think it's more going to be towards the, you know, even though, I mean, I don't check the moon, what's going on with the moon, mm-hmm. but the water, it warms up. Like, I got on the lake at the boat launch this morning, and it was 54, and we left. It was, the surface temp was already close to 58 in the same spot. So the mm-hmm. sun's starting to do some work on it. We haven't had a lot of sunlight, so.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice too, you'll see the open water, you know, bait a little bit more when that sun comes up. You'll start seeing stuff more in the open water, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, it depends on the weather's changing. Forecasts have been all over the place, so I don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. But if it's sunny and stuff, the open water bite can be good. That's why, especially early in the year when the water's cold, you mm-hmm. want to have some sun.
Right.
You know.
Get that food chain moving, get them up high where you can get after them. And,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned blades like the Mag Dogs, you know, is it a matter of like the shallow Mag Dogs? If you're gonna go crazy and you're gonna go for a big fish, is it all slow? Is it slow presentation, big bait, almost like a night bite?
No, I still like to rip them and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those open water to get reaction strikes on that. And I'm talking real clear water. So, mm-hmm. but no, you're still. I mean, you may throw the bucktail, you wouldn't be burning it, but
right.
You still want to. You know, you want to keep it up in the top. You know, 5 foot of a water column for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you know. I would say, you know, medium. I wouldn't be going crazy like in, you know, July or something like right. that with baits.
Now,
but definitely would. You got to cover water. That's the whole thing with that. You're covering water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of got to fall into one because there's not going to be a lot out there. But
it can be a good one for sure. I had asked Frost sort of the same thing about switching lakes, and he's sort of like a, you know, stay on the lake and just pound it. What's your thought? Do you need to, If it's diminishing returns, you're not seeing what you want to see in the first couple of hours, are you a lake switcher this early in the year? What's sort of your game plan there?
I would, you know, depending on the size of the lake, I would sometimes check out, like, say if there's a weed rock kind of combination. If you're not, if the weed, maybe check out some rock, the warmer, you know, some fish that are like slid on the mm-hmm. like mid lake rock bars that are warming up that water, you know, they're going to absorb a little bit more heat off that harder bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, especially the ones that are recovering from the spawn, because you're going to see fish that are pretty torn up still, especially mm-hmm. on some bigger lakes.
They're
fresh, you know. So, you know, I caught them on the laying up on those mid lake bars, and you almost hit them on the head. You know, the bait lands a couple of feet from them, and you get a reaction strike on them. Mm-hmm. You know. Kind of, you know, as far as getting moving a lot, you're not going to move a lot of fish, you know, maybe if you do move them, they're going to probably be way behind it and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, you can crack, get one pretty close to one, you know.
get them to go. So, good deal. What would be, you know, what's the top three things you're looking for? What's the first three baits you're going to throw on opener?
I would say some kind of a minnow bait would be mm-hmm. number one. That I can get some a little bit more hang time
mm-hmm.
on it, you know, so like maybe like a shallow type raider type, something that doesn't, like, you know, a crane or something would be, you know, a little bit buoyant. I'd be something that would hang a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe like a glider type,
mm-hmm.
Type that would give you some hang time there and not run real deep.
Right, your phantoms, your hell puppies, your, you know, that kind of size, the 6-inch kind of gliding.
Yeah, bite bag, the pin tackles, yep. The small warlocks, small hellhounds, mm-hmm. 6-inch hellhounds, phantoms, 6-inch swirly tail phantoms would be a good one. Yeah. And then you could even go into, say, if you want to go to some rubber, even fishing shallow, you know, weeds and stuff, you go maybe with a, you know, shallow toe, shallow dog.
Mm-hmm.
And just, something like that.
Just
if you got some wind, then you can get some blades out. If you got some wind. I like to, you know, when there's wind, there's, you know, I like blades when there's wind.
When there's a chop on them, yeah. When there's a chop on them. Well, fantastic, Doug. Well, thank you so much, and have a great opener.
For sporting goods, press...
Those
Sporting Goods.
Oh, you're there. You know, musky opener's coming up this weekend there. What are you guys throwing?
I don't understand your question.
What do you guys recommend throwing there for a musky opener? Baits.
I guess I'm still don't understand what you mean by throwing.
Casting. What baits do you like there for the musky opener coming up there?
We don't have anybody here that is a musky fisherman.
Oh, okay.
Babs Truck Center, Babs speaking.
Hey there, what baits you throwing there at the musky opener?
You tired or something?
No. Oh.
You do realize you called a truck center in Chicago, right? We don't have a closed season, you dip. Oh. It's always open.
Oh. Why you gotta be so mean?
Good evening, Musky Shop. This is Fred. How can I help you?
You gotta sell them taters.
Fred.
Yeah, I thought that was you.
What baits? what's your strategy for this opener? Coming up, it's this weekend. What's Fred, Fantastic Freddy, doing? What are you looking for? Talk to me about what's going on here.
Going to try to find some green weeds, which it's going to be pretty tough, but there are some out there. I'm going to throw little twitch baits, little slammers, and some Smitty Wizards maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the 6-inch Smitty Glide bait.
What is that?
Maybe the Phantom.
The Mercer?
Nope, not the Mercer. The Smitty Jerk. Jerk bait. I said that wrong.
It's all good. We'll dock you 5 points for that. That incorrect.
That's fine.
What? As far as, you know, because I've talked to Big Tig, I talked to Frosty today, trying to get the feel because you guys are up there and you're seeing it. You're out on the water. You've been out fishing. I think you've been on some crappie and a few things. You know, getting warmed up for muskie. What are you seeing as far as the staging of these fish, whether regardless of the species? Big Ticket was seeing some stuff offshore. Are you seeing stuff shallow? What do you just give me sort of like your breakdown of what you're seeing on the water right now?
Right now, everything has kind of slid out a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, I was catching some of the panfish and walleyes in really shallow water a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or about a week and a half ago, and then everything kind of slid out a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, the crappies, you're finding them in about 5 to 6 feet of water,
mm-hmm.
because we had some drastic cold fronts come through.
Right.
And some frost, you know. A lot colder up here than it is in Tennessee, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, you guys got, you know, like I said, you got wallop with some cold stuff. As far as, and it seems to be everybody's take, they're going to go for the stained water. Is that the same play for you, going for smaller stained stuff, or what's your?
Yeah, that's my play. I'm going to go after some smaller stained waters, a couple little lakes off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some, you know, I'm going to probably get out there on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
after a guide trip on Sunday morning. Probably go do a little playing and some investigating for the Lakeland Hawks Ice Association Muskie Tournament that's coming up.
Nice.
So I'm going to do a little research and recon, might cast a little bit. As I said, I'll be throwing some small twitch baits, checking a couple spots out, looking for some weeds on a couple little lakes, because mm-hmm. I can't see it changing a whole lot between now and next week, although it is supposed to get up into the 90s here.
Wow. That's shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, starting Monday, so everything can totally change between, you know, Sunday to Monday. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know.
Well, you know, as far as, you know, the movement of these fish, it's going to be obviously somewhere between the spawning areas, north end of the lake, the classic warmer areas, you know, for opener. What kind of speeds are you looking for? Are you looking for that moderate? Or are you going to really slow roll drag stuff? Because I know you like to do some really finessey stuff. Like, what's some of the finesse tactics you're going to use there on opener for these critters?
I'm going to be throwing some glide baits and stuff that's going to go, you know, wide angles,
mm-hmm.
to potentially locate some fish and see what's going on. That's That'll be the tactic I'll be using.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
And you touch on it for a second, and it's a charity. We definitely support that hockey. Tell everybody about that hockey tournament again. We actually, of all things, I guess Nick said there's some people even from Arizona send some money in. We appreciate you, whoever did that from the podcast. What's going on with that charity event you got going on there? Tell everybody about the dates and all that stuff.
So it's the second annual Lakeland Hawks Ice Association, and they raise money for the ice arena for ice time because, as everyone knows, it's not cheap to have ice in the middle of summer.
Right.
It's $250 to get into the Lakeland Hawks Ice Tournament. And it's the thing I liked about it is that it was my alma mater. I went to school at Lakeland, and it's just a fun event. The Monkey Shop is a big sponsor of it and donate a bunch of product and stuff like that. And it's just a good time. A bunch of guys, you know, getting together. A lot of people are in. Tim the mayor, myself, a lot of guys from the shop. It's just an all-around fun time, and they're just trying to raise some money, trying to get for the Lakeland Hawks.
Yeah, get those kids. If you never played hockey in your life, about as expensive of a sport as it gets. You know, it's crazy.
It's crazy insane
you know,
for hockey.
And that's awesome. So, cool deal. Check that out. And then, Fred, I wish you luck on opener. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, have a great day.
Jay, what did you think? I really felt like the kid from Arby's had it down.
Well, he was dialed in. The guy's a born salesman, I guess. I mean, probably either that or he's just hungry.
So, you know, Al, he had some good stuff. You know, you heard it. What was similar amongst everybody that's already lined up, they got trips, they're on they've been out walleyeing already, is that shallow stain stuff. You know that.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah,
of downsize. Yeah. You're going to fight suspended fish. But some of these other people were able to get a hold of, but it's pretty informative.
Yeah, good stuff.
I enjoyed the big box store that had no clue about what they were selling. That was exciting.
There's a lot of that out there.
You know. Oh, yeah. Oh, Dave. Dave.
Or, you know what? I mean, you could try calling an online store, too, and see if anyone answers.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it?
But that, yeah, you gotta, that probably wouldn't work out either.
Wouldn't work out real well.
Okay.
So, but, you know, I feel like that is informative. I'm on Amazon right now looking for a flak jacket for you because it sounds like Wally's kind of mad.
It sounded like him. Yeah. I didn't know what that caught me by surprise. It really did.
You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Jay? I mean, it really boils down to you better watch out when you're walking your car.
Yeah, well, he's a lawnmower. I mean, he's not mowing. I'm looking out right now. He's not mowing right now, but he will be. He'll give me that look.
Anyway, guys, well, if you're in Northwoods or you're heading up there, have a great opener. You know, get you one. I don't know. I think it's going to be better. A lot of people are going to go, nah, it'll be this, that, or that. I think if you go low and slow, fish the shallow stuff, I think people are going to put some serious fish in the boat.
Absolutely. With this warming trend, it should be good.
And you don't have to call everybody in town if you need some info. If you're up there, call Musky Shop. Obviously, these guys know what they're doing, and they're happy to help you. That's one thing I'll say, in all honesty. If you go in the shop, if you're like, we're here for 2 days and the first day sucked, go to the shop, and these guys will definitely give you a clue, you know, or point you in the right direction of where to be and sort of what to do there, Jay. July 16th. The Musky Shop Bash coming up there. It's only weeks away, Jay.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
We got our Wisconsin filming extravaganza coming up. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. But anyway, guys, have a great opener there in the Northwoods there, Ope. Good night.
Good night.